agnes.queensu.ca.
Hey CFRC listeners, in celebration of International Women's Day, local icon Miss Emily and the Kingston Music Office are hosting an International Women's Day showcase on March 7th at the Broom Factory, with support from your friends here at CFRC. Experience a showcase celebrating the remarkable talents of women and non-binary artists in the Kingston community. Miss Emily will be hosting the night with feature performances from Clara Smallman, Julia Finnegan, Kyra Daniel, and Savannah Shea. Stay for the fireside chat exploring songwriting, creativity, and the challenges of navigating the music industry as underrepresented voices, as well as a showcase of women-led businesses in the Kingston community. It's sure to be the event of the season. Doors are at 7 p.m., and tickets can be found at ticketscene.ca.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Airwave YGK Musician in Residence special episode, recorded here at CFRC 101.9 FM, supported by the City of Kingston and the Kingston Arts Council. Today we are here with Abby Louise, the third artist to join us in the Airwave YGK Musicians in Residence program, a project offering opportunities for young and emerging musicians and bands to use CFRC's recording studios to develop, rehearse, and produce new original songs. Finally, they are given the opportunity to have a live-to-air performance to the CFRC Airwaves. Without further ado, here is Abby Louise. How are you doing today, Abby?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. Abby, why don't you tell us about yourself and your work as an artist?
My name's Abby Louise, and I'm an 18-year-old singer-songwriter, musician, poet, artist, and activist. And I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, and I moved to Kingston about 3 years ago. So I've been in the art scene here for around 3 years now, and it's really beautiful. And my intention with music and all creative mediums is to build community and to help people feel less alone in the world.
Cool. What kind of musical inspiration did you get from Georgia, Atlanta? I'm curious, like from your hometown.
Well, I've had a lot of influence from R&B artists, especially like Jhené Aiko and Lauryn Hill and Summer Walker. And not all of those artists are actually from Atlanta, but I'd say just the kind of music there that's popular is definitely R&B and hip hop. So I've had a lot of influence from that.
Yeah, I know a lot of, well, because I personally make a lot of hip hop stuff and I follow a lot of the hip hop artists. So I know a lot of the recording gets done in Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah.
All that stuff.
It's a really cool city.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I got to visit one day.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get started and how did you keep learning or keep up your learning, rather?
So I think I've been singing for as long as I could, like since I was learning to speak, I started singing as well. And I always wrote songs as a kid, but I never really took it seriously until I was about 16. And I started playing guitar when I was 15. I bought my first guitar on my 15th birthday, and I've been playing since then. And I used to think that it would be impossible for me to sing and play guitar at the same time. But with some encouragement from other musicians, I started working on that, and now it's almost like I can't do them separately.
Yeah, it's definitely like a skill to learn for sure. Mm-hmm. In terms of that, because I've tried it in the past. I also can't sing at all. So when I try playing and singing, it's really hard for me. But I find a lot of playing instruments is just, it's a lot about, at a certain point, it's muscle memory.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of comes naturally. And you're not really thinking so much about what you're playing. So I feel like, do you find that it's mostly muscle memory for you? Or do you find that, yeah, do you find that it's mostly muscle memory for you? Or like, and then you can focus more on your singing?
Yeah, so music for me is very intuitive. And it's only pretty recently that I've been learning more music theory and getting more like technical with things. But I started out just learning covers, like Summer Walker covers, and then writing my own songs kind of inspired by the chords and sounds that I learned from those covers. So I'm usually not like thinking about what I'm doing in terms of music theory when I'm writing songs. It's more just like how to translate my emotions and thoughts into sounds that people can receive.
Yeah, I'm the exact same way. Like when I'm creating music, like I'm not even thinking about a chord progression or mm-hmm. anything. Like I'm just thinking about this chord sounds good with this chord. Do I know why?
Nope.
Kinda. Not really, but it sounds good. And I think that's what matters. It's just, it's all about the sound and getting out the emotion, no matter how you do it.
Yeah,
in my
absolutely.
Opinion. Mm-hmm. Did you have a mentor or did you do it all by yourself along the way?
So I'd say I've been mostly independent, especially up until I moved to Kingston. But when I moved here, it really didn't take long for me to find community, especially through like poetry open mics and music open mics. And I feel really grateful that I've met so many mentors that I've learned so much from. And people that come to mind are like Josh Lyon and Bruce Kaufman and Savannah Shea and Atiari and so many other people that I'm grateful to have learned from along my journey.
Tell us about your style and technique.
I'm still kind of figuring that out, but I guess you could describe me as a folk and R&B and neo soul artist. My music is usually like pretty mellow and soft. I do a lot of like soft finger picking and a bit of strumming with my guitar music. And my vocals are definitely like R&B related. So a lot of riffs and runs. I kind of take inspiration from all kinds of genres, even like metal music.
Yeah.
And definitely like blues and jazz as well.
Yeah, 100%. I love blues and jazz. Even metal. I mean, I got put on this band recently called Sleep Token. I don't know if you've heard of them.
Sounds familiar.
But they're really cool. I think they have like really good music and they mix a lot of hip hop elements in there too.
Cool.
There's literally one song where they like replace the entire drum kit with like a hip hop drum machine. And then just like start doing some like metal riffs over it. It's pretty cool. And the thing that I like the most about them too is the way they present themselves on stage and all of that stuff. Have you done a lot of performances in Kingston?
Yeah, I've done a few. I've played at the Broom Factory, both for the open mic and for opening at a concert. I've busked at the Memorial Center Farmers Market, and that was a really lovely experience. I've done a few climate action events because I think music is a really powerful medium for conveying messages about the need for social change. I've played at the Union Gallery, and I'll be playing there again in February for their annual fundraiser. A few other places, but that's all that comes to mind right now.
Cool. Tell us about the work you do to put into a performance or recording.
Yeah, so for a live performance, I usually consider my audience. Like if this is a climate action event, then I'll write a set list that's consisting of my songs about like living off the land and food sovereignty. Or if it's just like a regular concert, then I'll kind of play whatever songs I feel like. A lot of my songs are kind of sad, so I try not to bum people out too much. I try to balance like sadder stuff with some happier stuff. And for recording, I don't do too much planning because, again, that's still something that's new to me, like the whole music theory stuff. But I try to think of what harmonies I want to do. And really, most of it is just being patient with myself and taking care of my my body and my throat and like doing vocal warm-ups and even like yoga to just prepare for that action.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I used to be in a band a while ago, and one of the singers, she would have like warm honey before we would go perform.
Yeah.
And it like really helps to like loosen up the vocal cords.
Mm-hmm.
It worked pretty well. Tell us about some of your in-person performances and favorite memories as a performing artist.
Yeah, so something that comes to mind is when I was playing at the Memorial Center Farmers Market, I believe it was in October, and it was really cold outside. Like, I had to warm up my fingers in between each song, but it was still a really great experience. And probably the highlight of it was just that the local farmers were putting food and treats in my tip basket. So it felt like a really good experience of reciprocity, where, like, I'm contributing music to make this a more peaceful and happy environment, and then they're giving back. And I even got like a musician's discount when I bought eggs, so that was pretty sweet.
No way. That's awesome.
Yeah,
fresh food from the farmer's market. You can't beat it, you know?
Yeah.
It's the best. You mentioned one of your obstacles being like vocal warm-ups and like stuff. Well, let me repeat that question. Hold on. What I was going to say is, were there any obstacles you have faced as a performing artist?
Yeah, so I think I deal with the same anxiety that most musicians do. And because I'm young and I still have a lot to learn, I often feel like I'm kind of an imposter, like even getting this amazing opportunity of the Airwave YGK residency, I thought like, am I even ready for this? Like, am I going to be able to do what they're expecting of me? But I just kind of combat that narrative with like, I want to share my gift with the world, and this isn't about me and like me getting praise for being a good musician. It's just about connecting people through music.
Yeah, exactly.
And a really big challenge for me has been being loud and taking up space, because I kind of grew up always having to tiptoe and whisper, like figuratively and literally. So just finding spaces where I feel comfortable and safe to like sing loudly and, you know, put in the power to hit that high note. That's been a really big part of my journey. And I had a lot of stage fright like most people do, but now I'm not as nervous on stage, and I can kind of get out of my head enough to really connect with people. So that's a really great thing to experience.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it goes back to what we talked about earlier with like chord progressions and stuff. Like, we don't really know what the chord progressions mean or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just about getting the emotion out there. So it's kind of the same thing when you say you may be too young. I think that doesn't matter at all. It's a matter of your message and what you're trying to get out there.
Yeah, you know? I agree. Thank you.
No worries. Yeah. I mean, I even see people like social media too has like exposed so many young artists like into the industry. Like, there's a guy, he's got to be at least 11 or 12, and he's like a producer. He makes beats and stuff.
Wow.
And he has recognition from like a lot of people in the industry. Like, one person that comes to mind that I know follows him is Timbaland. Like, Timbaland follows him, and
wow.
I think he's like releasing sample packs and stuff online. Like, it's crazy. And he's like 11. Like,
that's amazing.
So yeah, again, it's all about the message of the music, you know. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from.
Definitely. And everyone has something unique to share.
And exactly.
Yeah, like a message that only they can convey in a certain way. And there's mm-hmm. always going to be people who don't like your music or who don't resonate with it, but there's always going to be people that do.
Exactly. And the best part is like, everybody interprets music differently. And like, if you really think about it, like, music is just like, it's like an interpretation of stuff that happens in our lives. And we also gain inspiration from other musicians as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we all interpret that inspiration differently. And I think that's what makes creating music very unique. Like, everybody who creates music has a very unique twist on how they actually interpret artists and interpret situations in their life.
Yeah, definitely. And even when I'm painting, like, there's always that, you know, perfectionism that I'm trying to unlearn. And I tell myself, just the act of creating alone is beautiful. So it doesn't matter what I end up making and how it looks, but just the fact that I'm creating something that will outlive me.
Exactly. 100%. Yeah. It literally, the music lives on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't remember the exact quote, but there's a very famous music producer who died recently, Quincy Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something along the lines of like, he's like, I may be gone, but the music still lives on.
Yeah, and he was a wise man.
Yeah, and that's kind of like what music is, you know? It's just, it lives on and just keeps going.
Yeah.
Could we talk about the Kingston music scene for a minute? Let me reword that. Talk about the music scene in Kingston. What excites you about it and where you hope it goes?
Yeah, so I'm really in love with the city, and I'm so grateful for all the opportunities there are for artists, from like poetry to music to visual arts. And I hope to see that musical equipment and skill building opportunities become more accessible to people. And by accessible, I mean like affordable. And I think Joe's Mill is doing a really wonderful job at making that happen. So I hope that they're getting the support they need to do that. Because Joe's Mill has helped me a lot with like trying out new instruments and just learning from people there. I hope to see more community spaces that feels safe to share music and poetry and short stories. And I host an open mic every month at Next Church. And that's really my intention, is to get people together to share in a way that actually feels like sharing and not performing. Because I feel like all this creative expression, it's such a beautiful, sacred thing, but it gets tainted by anxiety and judgment and fear. So I'm really hoping to detangle those and help people feel safe to share.
Yeah, 100%. I remember when I started performing, I felt like the same way. The eyes are on you. Mm-hmm. Like, all the eyes are on you, and it's very nerve-wracking. But you also have to remember that, again, what we were talking about before, everybody interprets your performance in a different way. And I mean, kind of the thing that sucks but might help is that no matter what you're doing, you're always going to have people who judge you, unfortunately, mm-hmm. you know? So it's kind of just a matter of, like, not caring, because a lot of people just don't understand, you know? And
yeah.
A lot of people won't understand, or a lot of the times that judgment is a critique on their character and who they are as a person, you know?
Right. And I try to remind myself that being nervous is not a bad thing. I remember a few months ago when I was opening at the Broom Factory for Luella and Katie Tupper, I was talking to Olivia in the Red Room, and she said this word, nervited. And that's how I felt on the way here, actually. It's like, I'm nervous, but I'm trying to stay aware of how grateful I am for this opportunity. Like, I get to be here and people are hearing my voice, and that's a really wonderful thing. And I'm nervous because I care. So yeah. I just kind of let that nervousness kind of transform into just gratitude.
And, you know, I read a book in the past that's called Psycho-Cybernetics. And in the book, it talks about how it's pretty much your mindset on everything, and like how you can rewire your brain to have a different mindset. And like, that was one of the things in the book. They talked about nervousness, but they talked about it as being, don't see it as nervousness. Exactly what you said. Don't see it as being nervous. See it as being very excited and just also just caring a lot about it. So the fact that you already have that mindset where you're coming in and you're like, okay, I'm not nervous, but I'm excited, is awesome. Like, it's definitely the mindset to have, you know, in everything, even performing and just life, because you'll always be nervous for stuff.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of how you deal with it.
Yeah. And it's kind of ironic because I'm really passionate about music therapy, and especially like the music that Jhené Aiko makes with sound bowls and helping people feel calm and safe. So it's like, I'm trying to do that with my music, but I also have so much anxiety when it comes to music.
Yeah.
But I mean, I just go back to my sound bowls and meditate and try to deal with it.
Fair enough. Talk about the sound bowls a little bit, because I've actually never really heard of it.
Oh yeah, they're pretty cool. So they're like little bowls made of copper or brass, and there's a mallet that you hit them with. And I'm no expert, but I've understood that there's ways to kind of manipulate the frequencies so it can go like faster or slower, but it's still the same pitch. And often sound bowls resonate with certain chakras in the body. So there's 7 main chakras along the spine. And for example, I have a throat chakra sound bowl. So that resonates with the throat chakra. So if I'm ever feeling like I'm scared to speak up, or I'm like shy about singing, then I'll use my throat chakra, and I'll often say mantras like, I speak my truth with confidence and love. So things like that. And I find it's really helped me.
Wow. Very powerful. Do you find that you ever use, like, I speak my truth with peace and love? Like, do you ever find that you incorporate stuff like that into your music?
Yeah, definitely. Probably not as much as I, like, envision that I want to in the future. But again, like, I'm just starting out. I have a long way to go. But I have started playing live music every other Wednesday at Moro Yoga, which is a yoga studio downtown. And that's where I've really gotten to experiment with using the sound bowls and vocalizing in resonance with the sound bowls. And I'll even try to be mindful of like what yoga pose people are doing in the class and when I should use the sound bowl. Like if they're doing a yoga pose that's focused on opening their heart, then I'll use my heart chakra singing bowl. And it's just something I'm still exploring. But that's really powerful.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, we've done some stuff in a class that I took. we were doing an experiment where we were sending certain frequencies onto a plate. And then there was a motor under that plate, which is what transmits the frequencies onto the plate. And the plate would vibrate. And we would put like grains of salt or pepper just on this plate. And basically what we found is that when you play certain frequencies, it actually creates different patterns on the thing. So like, for example, it would vibrate and all of the little salt things would move towards the edge of the plate and it would create like a circle. Or sometimes it'd be like a triangle or like complex, very complex shapes. So I find that it's interesting that you use sound bowls, because it is very true that different frequencies move the body in certain ways. And I realized it in that moment. I was like, wow, like this is actually really cool.
I've never gotten to do that, but I have seen pictures of it and that's really cool. And it just makes you think like thoughts kind of mirror actions, or like, not to get too woo-woo, but I always think as above, so below. Like you can manifest something spiritually and then it will have like physical embodiments.
Yeah, 100%. Well, it also goes to show how much music can actually influence you too. Like, and your character and how it resonates with it. Literally resonates.
Yeah, literally.
With every one of us. That's why I think everybody is driven towards different genres and all that stuff.
Yeah, like every panic attack I've had, I always go to Janae Aiko's trigger protection mantra, and it's her like just making beautiful sounds with singing bowls, and it always helps me calm down. It's really powerful how music can do that.
Yeah, I know, for real, honestly. Could you talk a little bit about the importance of campus and community radio in supporting artists like yourself?
Yeah, so I'm still pretty new to CFRC, but from what I've heard, it seems like it's filling a really important niche in the community. And I think it's an incredible and essential thing to have a not-for-profit, community-driven radio station that supports local poets and musicians, because otherwise all this talent in Kingston would be drowned out by the mass media of the rest of the world. So I'm really grateful for CFRC because of that and other radio stations that are doing similar things.
100%. Where can folks see you perform or find your recordings? Do you have any recent performances coming up?
Yeah. So tonight is the Walks of Life open mic. It's the second Friday of every month. And I host that open mic. And usually at the end, I'll share a song or a poem. And I play live music at Moro Yoga every other Wednesday during the Rest and Restore class at 7:30. I don't have any music released yet, except for a song on SoundCloud. It was a Daniel Caesar cover. But I am working on a song with Atiari that we're going to be releasing pretty soon. We're doing a show at The Buckle on January 18th. She's the main artist, and I'm like a supporting artist. And we'll be playing the song together. So I'm pretty excited about that. And we hope to release the song before the show. I'm working on a website. It hasn't been launched yet, but when it is launched, it will be found under voiceofabby.com. So there I'll be kind of uploading my portfolio of music and art and poetry. But for the most part, you can stay up to date with me and what I'm doing through Instagram, and that's _voiceofabby. And I'm playing at the Union Gallery fundraiser on February 8th, and I'm pretty sure I'll be playing at the Women's Art Festival in August, and I'll be busking at the Memorial Center Farmers Market on February 16th from 11 to 1. So that's all I got so far.
Okay, awesome. Wow, sounds like a pretty busy schedule.
I guess so.
A lot of stuff coming up. Tell us about your upcoming live-to-air performance at CFRC. What can listeners expect to hear/experience?
Yeah, so my intention is to kind of do a combination of like the vibe of Janae Aiko's Tiny Desk concerts and Lauryn Hill's MTV live performances. I'd say people can expect something kind of mellow, but also something that makes them feel and think. So I'd say just listen with an open heart. And don't be afraid if you start crying.
Awesome, awesome. Anything else to add?
Just that I'm super grateful to be here and to have this opportunity. Thanks so much.
Oh, no worries. Well, thanks for coming. That's all the time we got for today. But now we are going to hear Abby... One sec. Now we're going to hear Abby Louise perform live at CFRC 101.9 FM.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. I'm Abby Louise, and I have a brand new EP to share with you. And the first song is called Music Heals. Into my shadow world and roll up, open up, listen up, get in touch. My shadow world needs to speak, or it'll burst at the seams. Let it speak and learn to love all of me. Feel the pain so one day it could be released. Cause if you let anger build up, it becomes resentment. I can't let stay stuck, no more. I gotta let it go. For so long, it's been sink or swim, but now I'm manifesting. I'll float, wade in the water, and go with the flow. Just leave our egos at the door. Then maybe we could find what we've all
all been searching for. I believe we're all more alike than we may seem. And when I'm on the mic, I don't like to brag, cause what you have isn't as important as what you give. I'd rather live a simple life than have drama keeping me up at night and fatigue that I always have to fight. I'm asking you to let your guard down and I will too. It's a safe space. I know you can see the fear in my face, but the music will make the pain go away. Choosing not to live that way. I'm just praying for the world to change. I'm just trying to make it a better place. But sometimes I think it might be too late. I don't want to be a part of this. People blinded by empty bliss. But somehow it's alright when I feel your kiss. Material things can't fulfill the soul. Only love and connection can make us feel whole. So I'm not standing around waiting when there's changes I could be making. If you walk with me, we can make our own way. Choose love and peace even when they're choosing hate. What I'm trying to say is, it starts with us. Yeah, the change begins when you look within.
That was Choose Love, and the one before it was Shadow World, and what you're about to hear is called Freedom. Less of my energy would be thrown away. What if I wasn't afraid of everyone I love walking away? Is that our freedom would taste? I bet it feels so great. Ooh, 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 la la la, la la la. This next one is called Float, and it's a song I wrote with Atiari, who's a wonderful local musician, and we'll be releasing it this Wednesday, February 12th. The water.
and so I'll float in a pool of love in my mother's arms, safe from all harm. And so I'll float in a pool of love in my mother's arms, safe from all harm.
Thank you for listening. I'm Abby Louise, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Bruce Kuwabara celebrated Canadian architect and the mind behind Agnes Reimagine, the new home of the Agnes Etherington Art Center, is this year's Francis K. Smith Lecturer in Canadian Art. In his talk, Catalyzing Change, Kuwabara presents several recent projects that explore the themes of art and community and the insights he gained working on Agnes Reimagined. Join us on Thursday, March 20th at 6 p.m. in Grant Hall for this exciting event. Tickets are free, but please register by visiting agnes.queensu.ca.
Hey, I'm Julian Taylor, and I'm excited that my radio show, The Jukebox, can now be heard on CFRC 101.9 FM out of Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario. The show is all-inclusive. I only play music that I love and think that you'll love, too. So tune in every Tuesday morning from 10 a.m. to noon right here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM.
Stuck, I ride. I'll find my way just fine each time. 'Cause I got me, myself, and I. And solitude is the greatest muse. Won't let myself be used again. I'm protecting my peace. You can hang around me if your love's gonna cost more than it spends. I need stability, something that won't break when it bends. Ooh.
That was Dreams, and this next one is the last one on the EP, and it's called Home. Powered by pure admiration for the ability to feel through this beating heart. And I hear the pulse of creation as I listen. My dreams carry me the way the wind moves loose seeds that will soon land on fertile soil. They carry me through this river when I forget how to swim. When I forget, I can feel the pulse of creation within. The water moves me, moves through me, makes me happy to be alive, grateful to be doing what I love, changing the world one song at a time, grateful to walk this earth and know God through myself. Through this heart and mind, who don't always align in harmony, but life is funny that way. Why do we wait for everything to be perfect when everything is as it's meant to be? Most beautiful when it's messy, a miracle in even just the sound of a heartbeat or the sight of a seed flying with the wind. We're all looking for something divine, and we will wait for eternity if we forget to look within and listen. Listen to the universal rhythm, the pulse of creation that pulls us back home. I'm Abby Louise, and that was my EP, Float, which I will be releasing on May 5th. Thanks so much for listening.
Hey, CFRC listeners. In celebration of International Women's Day, local icon Miss Emily and the Kingston Music Office are hosting an International Women's Day showcase on March 7th at the Broom Factory, with support from your friends here at CFRC. Experience a showcase celebrating the remarkable talents of women and non-binary artists in the Kingston community. Miss Emily will be hosting the night with feature performances from Clara Smallman, Julia Finnegan, Kyra Daniel, and Savannah Shea. Stay for the fireside chat exploring songwriting, creativity, and the challenges of navigating the music industry as underrepresented voices, as well as a showcase of women-led businesses in the Kingston community. It's sure to be the event of the season. Doors are at 7 p.m., and tickets can be found at ticketscene.ca.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present Rogue Rising's debut single, Crush, an energizing anthem of defiance and self-empowerment, driven by fiery guitar leads, a hook-laden chorus, and an unmistakable edge. Fronted by Kingston's own fearless singer, songwriter, and lead guitarist, Rowan Rogue Picard, along with Evan Kluick of Arachnia on guitar, Jason Baird of the Meringues on bass, and fellow bandmate Maddie Benoit of the Petras on drums, the single Crush was produced by five-time Juno Award winner and Glass Tiger founding member Michael Hansen. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Crush by Rogue Rising on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
KPP Concerts and CFRC 101.9 FM present a stacked lineup of shows this January and February at the Broom Factory, featuring a mix of big-name acts and some local favorites. On January 18th, don't miss Canadian alt-rock duo Mountain Head. January 24th features local indie rock outfit Cassador. On January 26th, Bedouin Soundclash takes the stage. February 7th sees Busty and the Bass come to town. And on February 19th, it's a special Wednesday night rock show with headliners Dear Rouge. For additional information and to buy tickets, visit kppconcerts.com.
On Saturday, March 8 at 7 p.m., join the Agnes Etherington Arts Center as they bring back their popular series, Open Secret. In this third edition, the Agnes partners with New York Film Festival, Prismatic Ground, and its artistic director, Inay Prakash, for a screening of five short works by filmmakers exploring the gaps in their relationships to ancestral homelands, including the earth upon which Canada has imposed its borders. From Palestine to Algeria to Haiti to China, the faint outlines of nations dissolve beneath a vivid 16-millimeter overlay of memory and imagination.
A Q&A with Prakash will follow the screenings. This event is free and takes place at the screening room. Save your spot today by visiting agnes.queensu.ca.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present a new single by Nolan Hubbard and Sit Still called Pollen. Pollen is about embracing growth and confidently moving on from the things holding you back. Sonically, it unfolds gradually. Bouncy bass lines, lush vocal harmonies, swirling indie rock guitars, and dynamic production works together that bring the track into full bloom. Hubbard's distinctively stylish vocals, paired with Sit Still's rhythmic prowess, create a vibrant musical collaboration. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visitkingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Pollen by Nolan Hubbard and Sit Still on your favorite platforms and enjoy it with us here now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Keep inhaling all the pollen. I don't need you in my garden. Misbehaving, stop installing. Don't be hating, I'm not calling. So in a rush, I was stressing out, I was losing touch. Used to think I'd never see this person I turned out to be, but now I've got this energy. So keep your shade away from me. Thought that we'd grow into something beautiful, but it wasn't mine to hold. No, the water doesn't flow. Keep inhaling all the pollen. I don't need you in my garden.
You got caught creeping through the weeds. Get caught while some of the seeds.
Misbehaving, stop installing. Don't be hating, I'm not calling.
Don't tell me I'll steal my cup. When I'm dreaming, don't wake me up.
February 13th.